Welcome to the Chair Yoga Podcast with me, Maria Jones. Knowledge and inspiration for teaching and practicing chair-based yoga.
Hello, everyone. This is another edition of the Chair Yoga Podcast. In today's episode, we have Heather Skoll telling us about her journey before her knee surgery. Heather is a certified yoga teacher, a synergist, a toastmaster, and certified dream coach. She curates specialized wellness programs, movement classes, and facilitates virtual and in-person wellness events, offers personalized support, and she helps individuals redefine and expand their meaning of wellness in their body, mind, emotions, and spirit. So thank you so much for coming and for agreeing to come live and tell us about your pre-knee surgery journey. I have already introduced you to the people saying that you're a certified yoga teacher, synergist, distinguished toastmaster, which I have no idea what it is, and certified dream coach. So can you tell me a little bit about this toastmaster part?
Absolutely. First of all, hello, and thank you so much for having me. I am outdoors because today is a glorious day where right now it is not roasting hot. We have a lot to talk about and cover today. So you asked me about Toastmasters. Toastmasters is an international organization that helps people develop their speaking skills as well as their leadership skills. If you can look up Toastmasters.org and find a local Toastmasters club, currently in Canada, we're all online because of the COVID situation. So you can actually attend a Toastmasters club anywhere at this point. Right.
Perfect. I'm going to have a look at it because I would love to know how to show up and actually tell them what I'm all about. So tell us, apart from that, which sounds incredibly interesting, what brought you in this space of yoga? Yes, we know it's holistic. Yes, we know it is an amazing life support. But what brought you into the space of teaching yoga?
For me, I was always involved in something active. When I was younger, it was more aerobics, and I started to teach aerobics. Actually, what happened was I was overseeing a number of recreation programs for municipal local government, and they were in drama and in dance. And we added a family fitness program under my supervision, and the instructor didn't show up. And I happened to go there on the first day, and I just got up on the stage and started to teach fitness. So after that, I thought, well, I guess I better actually officially learn how to do this. And so I took whatever I could at the time to certify in fitness. Now, along the journey and along the road, I got married, had kids, and I had a lot of challenges that I was facing, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, worry about the kids. And I fell into a yoga class because a friend of mine, actually, she said to me, Heather, let's go to India. I'm like, that's not possible right now. I can't go to India. She said, okay, how about let's go to yoga? I'm like, I can do that. So I started to take the class, and it was one of those things where it was like a perfect pairing. I got on the yoga mat, and I was like, that hour and a half to just pay attention to what's going on with me. So when you have kids, or you're a caregiver, or you're in a lot of pain, sometimes you're trying to back away from your body and you pay attention to everything else. And here was an opportunity to go, wow, like no matter what's going on in life, I have this. I have this mat, I have this hour and a half, and it was spectacular. I discovered a breath, and it was like a, I was like, oh, I'm breathing. Where have I been all these years? Like, I haven't felt like I breathed. So it connected me back to this actual idea that we can breathe. And then I think it was week three, my yoga teacher said to me, she said, how long have you been doing yoga? And I'm like, this is my third class with you. This is it. And she said, wow, like you seem to really like have connected with it. And she recommended then I go and take yoga training, which I did do the following summer at the Kripalu Center in Massachusetts in the US. So that was a really amazing journey to become a yoga teacher. Along the way, the humbleness of chronic issues, body injuries. I remember once talking to one of my yoga teachers at Kripalu, and I said to him, my knee's really bothering me and I'm finding it hard to teach. And what he said to me has stuck with me, which was, you may become the world's best yoga teacher for knee issues. Of course, I filed that away at that point, but it's so relevant right now because you realize we can teach from what we feel yes. and what we know.
I agree with that entirely because, of course, I have systemic lupus and that led to kidney failure and transplant, etc. I love helping people who are in pain and struggle with chronic illness. So I think you're right. Our experiences are lessons, better lessons, in fact, than the ones taught inside the classroom. And because of that, maybe you can share three tips for managing knee issues when you are on a yoga mat, please.
Okay, absolutely. So for me, the first thing, and the first thing I want to say is don't stop moving. If you have knee issues, there are other parts in your body that may want to move, that may want to dance. When I fell 8 years ago, and I kind of did one of those splats where I hit both knees and both my hands, my wrists. And about 2 weeks later, I got out of bed and, oh my goodness, I couldn't actually walk on my right knee. So it took me a while to realize that the fall was like the final straw of chronic issues and arthritis. And probably for the first 2-3 months of having the knee issue, I didn't move at all. I didn't want to. I was in too much pain. I was getting swollen. I was getting really down in my mood. But one day there was some music on and I was like, oh, wait, I can dance with my hand. Oh, you know, the other hand. And then the shoulders joined in. And slowly, slowly, I realized that there's other parts that could move. So the first thing is don't stop moving the parts that can move. That's one. The second one is when you have pain, we also want to start to focus on that place. So there's times where we want to sleep and rest and get away from the pain. And then there's times when we want to say, hello, pain, I know you're there. You're impeding my movement, but how can I move around the movement? How can I move past the movement? At first, with my knee, I could hardly bend it. But then eventually, I got it to bend. I can actually do, on the mat, a child's pose, which I don't know once I have the replacement whether I'll fully be able to still do a child's pose. But you don't have to. Sometimes there's like places or parts you go, okay, you know what? I can't do that. But maybe I could put a few pillows in between my bottom and my heels, and I could still get the feeling of a pose. So keep yourself interested. Chair yoga is a great example because it's something that I started to do online because during the pandemic, we weren't in person. So the third thing would really be, no matter what type of chair you have, chair, couch, I've started to see some people teaching sofa yoga. My concern is around posture. So if you're in a sofa and you're kind of back like this, which I've seen some of my clients, I'll always ask, can you come to the edge of your sofa? Place your feet on the ground. So the third tip is really about posture. And even if all you do in a day is, if you're really tired, is sit at the edge of your bed, if you can put your feet on the ground or on a stool or a step, and just feel your posture, feel your sitting bones relaxing, your lower back relaxing, your shoulders relaxing, and especially the head, which likes to go like this into a screen, right? And just bringing that chin back. And so posture is probably the biggest key because we don't want to cut off our breathing as we're trying to do any kind of relaxation.
It also keeps us safe, a neutral spine, which is what we are achieving in mountain pose, whether that mountain pose is seated or standing. Yeah. A neutral spine is the safe way to be. And in fact, while we're sitting here, we can actually do it together. We can press, we can take our hands on our head, press up our heads onto our hands, and then release them. That's neutral spine.
axial extension. But I agree with you entirely. I see people practicing at the back of their chair or on a sofa, and I'm thinking, it doesn't matter where you are. Yes, please keep a neutral spine while you're moving, because that's what keeps you safe. That's what keeps you healthy. It filtrates down to good breathing and moving patterns. And, you know, again, I will say it again, it keeps you safe. When you have people struggling with osteoporosis and degeneration of the spine and other issues like that, a longer spine where there is no herniation involved in it or anything else like that is so vital in the practice of yoga. And it doesn't matter whether it is on the mat or on the chair, a neutral spine is so important. You're so right.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a fourth tip. If you're going to do something on your own, it could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, as long as you do it consistently. So pick a time in the morning when you first get up out of bed, and then, or even in bed, you can do some in bed, and then later in the day. The consistency of that movement actually starts to train you. It's almost a training for your mind. You know, you have those sessions with yourself to look forward to. And you could decide if you want to do longer, depending on how you feel.
Exactly. And sometimes the challenge is to get started. So as long as we keep challenging ourselves and we keep showing up on the mat, we will see progress. And yes, I agree entirely with that. Keep showing up, chair, mat, whatever it is. Sometimes the challenge is to show up. Great. Sometimes the challenge is to keep to extend that duration, to add maybe a TheraBand into your system, or to have a less stable position. So since we're in this kind of more detailed discussion, can you share three approaches that have been most beneficial in the management of your knee pain and knee issues, please?
Absolutely. So the knee has been something for me going on for 8 years. And I first thought, I'm not going to get the surgery, even though I was told you have absolutely no cartilage. Like, there's no way you can recover this. I tried to manage, but we really talk about management, and management includes the movement. Management includes all the resources that I can possibly get in terms of whether somebody likes chiropractor or physio exercises or massage, acupuncture. So part of management is getting a team of people and to be able to regularly access the team for management. So I would say, if you are somewhere where you have other options for the knee, then don't wait too long, because you're not going to fix a joint that is completely rubbing on each other. There's part of self-care is getting outside resources. So then it's like, how do I make the best of whatever you spent on your physio by taking those exercises and actually doing them, incorporating them? Because it's summertime, I'm doing my exercises, my afternoon exercises outdoors. And because I want to take in the outdoors while I'm doing it. So that's my self-care. And sometimes I feel like I have to fight for it, right? It's like, I need 10 minutes. Like, everybody else watch the dogs or, you know, get this going. I'm taking this time. So part of self-care is really not only demanding the time, but staying that consistent so they know this is her time right now. That's really hard, is for us to stand up for our self-care time. That's huge. I've set up a course of TheraBands and my big ball, yes, and everything in the room. So yeah, it's like, now I have like that cue. I have my band that I could do my shoulder exercises. I have the bands that I can use to do other exercises, working both the knee and even the shoulder issues. It does have more than one issue once you start to have arthritises and so on.
I agree.
Right?
And also what I find is that yoga is all about push, push, push. There is no real pulling action with yoga. So that's why you mentioning TheraBands is incredible, because adding tubes or TheraBands, I guess, and having that pulling action is so healthy for our muscles and our body. So all those things, if they are incorporated, yes, they're not strictly yoga, but they will lead to yoga.
Absolutely. So what I consider to be yoga is really that connection with yourself, with your breath, and with your movement. And you may be just breaking down a movement. Let's say it's tree pose, for example. So tree pose involves core. It involves balance. It involves relaxing the shoulders. You may be having arms overhead, or they could be just in front of the heart. It's elements of yoga. But once we pay attention to it, slow it down and pay attention to the movement and the breath, when you incorporate the idea of yoga into every movement, it helps you connect better. Your mind can settle, your breath can get deeper, and you just, like, it feels like a complete stress relief.
And I think that is the reason why it is so good to have the chair around, because it is such a mundane household object that everybody has around. And sometimes I think that the barrier is rolling a yoga mat out. That's why chair yoga can play a role in the recovery of many injuries, for the simple reason that it removes barriers, such as even removing your shoes and socks and getting to a place where you can practice. Well, in reality, you can practice yoga by just increasing your awareness in the stuff that you do, as you just said. So yeah. Can you tell us, what role do you think the chair in particular has played in this journey of managing knee issues and knee pain in your life?
So as we were saying, there's a lot you can do from the chair, and the chair being very accessible is super important. The chair, for me, provides more exploration. Also, because of its accessibility, it's something you can use in between things. Now, the chair can also provide balance. So people who can stand and can use to hold on to a chair, or a countertop or a table, but the chair can provide that support so you can get to the next level. And when you get tired from standing, you can come back to sitting and you can practice again on the chair.
I love it. What repatterns our body and gets rid of bad habits is repetition. And when we find the one thing that resets to something that makes us feel good, then we just have to keep doing it. Self-care can be incorporated through the day, especially if it doesn't involve the 5 minutes it takes to roll out a mat and take your shoes and socks off. So absolutely agree with everything you say. So thank you very much for joining us today. It has been a pleasure to find all those incredible tips from Heather. We'd like to end this podcast with maybe some wise words from you. What is your biggest takeaway from our discussion today, Heather?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway for me is actually connecting with other people who are teaching, and teaching in a way that is really authentic to the things that we're going through. So my biggest takeaway is just connection and like-mindedness, and to know, and to really, the messages, even though we go through something which may not be positive, it might be painful, that we can use that experience to really help others. And so I'm so glad to meet someone else who thinks the same.